This is KUT Austin.
Stop. This is KUT. I'm Jennifer Staten. It can be verbal, psychological, or physical. It can happen in person or online. It can happen anywhere people gather. But bullying at school can make classes a nightmare for some students and lead to unhappiness, stress, or worse. Janice and Rock Rockman are Central Texas Life and Relationship Coaches, certified by an International Coaching Federation accredited program. As the new school year gets underway, I wanted to talk with them about bullying, but I also wanted to hear from someone who has been in the trenches with it in school. So I asked their daughter, Grace, who's in the fifth grade, to join us to share her observations about bullying.
I've seen it mentally. I've seen it verbally, and mostly verbally, because I just think when you're a bully or someone that has a lot of fear, that my mom says, you usually wish you had someone to help you out or to kind of lead you to where you need to go. And I just think when I see bullying in my school, it's not as aggressive. It's more so kind of just like breakdown or control or make feel bad.
You've seen different kinds of bullying as you were describing. Let's talk a little bit more about those different kinds. When you say a mental kind of bullying, what did that look like when you saw that?
For me, it looked like, someone has said you have 16 heads. Or
like making fun.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or when I was in first grade, they called me Jiggly Jugglers. I don't know why, but it was sort of a funny nickname. But yes, when it's mentally, they do sort of get a little aggressive.
So it's like teasing.
Yeah,
and the
teasing,
aim
pretty
is to
much.
Try and get the person to change their mind about how they see themselves or feel themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's making suggestions and opinions, and it's almost like trying to sell you information about yourself to see if you'll buy into it.
Where is the line between teasing and joking and bullying? So, Grace, you mentioned in first grade people called you a nickname, and you said, I actually thought that was kind of funny. So there's a kind of talk in school that can be more teasing, but at some point that morphs into something stronger. What's the line there?
So to me, for example, like when someone says something funny about you that may not make you feel bad at first, and you both start laughing at it, but then later on you're kind of like, well, maybe that is true about me.
Yeah, so it's funny at first. So does the line come when it no longer is funny, or when it becomes hurtful? And then if you ask the person to stop, or you tell them that you don't like it and then they continue, is that where the line is drawn?
I remember back in the third grade, people were pointing at me or because I got in trouble for something, and then I got really uncomfortable. I asked them to stop, but they kept doing it, and it really wasn't fun at all. It was really hurtful, and I didn't tell my teacher because I was embarrassed to, and I didn't want to make them upset, so it was kind of hard for me.
So it's difficult, like when you draw a boundary line, even with children, you draw a boundary, you're like, this is uncomfortable now. And then when they continue is when I think it begins to erode at our sense of self, you know. And I mean, for children, as well as adults in the workplace, our classroom or our office space is our community. So if your community begins to turn against you, or that tide turns against you, you feel isolated or pointed out, it can be pretty difficult. And you brought up a good point that you didn't want to tell your teacher. So that happens probably a lot.
I definitely think they should say something, especially if they feel uncomfortable telling someone like their parents or teachers, because they're there to help you, to defend you, not to break you down. Even if your parents aren't that encouraging, you can ask a parent that you feel you're comfortable telling, and then maybe they can help or try to get your parents engaged with what you're talking about.
Find like a safe adult, even if it's not your teacher, maybe another teacher or another parent. I like how you said get your parents engaged too, because dads and moms can get really busy, and you could even say something and it's dismissed. So it's like, get their attention. You don't have to suffer in it alone.
Right. So I know one thing that comes up often in talking about bullying is what should happen sort of in the moment. So if I'm a young person in school, a student, and I'm being bullied, taunted, mentally, physically, whatever the case may be, what's the best thing to do right in that moment? You know, sometimes people say, just get up and walk away. Sometimes people say, no, you got to fight back. What's the most effective response in that moment for someone who's being bullied?
So I said this once, I believe in third or first grade. I said, what does that have to do with anything? Or I would say, okay, because to me, I think that kind of makes the bully feel like, okay, so they don't care. Then they try again, and then you say the same thing, and then they're kind of like, okay, this isn't working, what should I do? And then eventually, they just get overwhelmed, and then they find someone else to control.
So you overwhelm the bully by standing your ground.
Yes. Right.
Oh, that's priceless.
It's like the only power that the bully has is that you care about what they're saying about or about how they're trying to make you feel. You start to believe it. So mm-hmm. when you show them that you don't care, then they let off.
When somebody is a bully and they're doing this behavior, and you touched on this a little bit, Grace, in one of your earlier answers, what's going on? I mean, why do people tend to bully other people, either their peers at school or maybe peers in the workplace? What's the dynamic going on there?
I believe for myself, it is just that they feel, or someone else has bullied or controlled them, and then they're like, okay, what should I do about this? I'm kind of getting a little anxious. So then they try to let it off on somebody else.
A lot of times, folks that want to take advantage of people, control people, bully people, we don't know the foundation of what they're dealing with. Like, I've heard stories of, you know, children who are hungry every day when they come to school. You know, children who are abused in their household before they come to school. You know, children who go through so many things in their personal life when they're at home, or parents who aren't present, or a dad who isn't present. All these different factors are not always the case, but I've seen a lot of stories where that is the case, where this child is going through a lot personally. They don't know how to process it. So then the way they express themselves is by attacking other people.
The point about hunger in even in this country is a tremendous problem, which is why a lot of public schools and community organizations have instituted summer programs where children can still come and receive a lunch or a breakfast during summer break, because their eating schedule is associated with whether or not school is in session or not. And we know that when we do not have our basic needs met, it's like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If we don't have that basic, like food and shelter, clothing, we go into halt. We're either too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, and we act out of our primitive brain. We go into fight, flight, or freeze. So that child, just through basic brain chemistry, cannot be expected to behave in an appropriate or rational way when they're trying to just defend themselves or protect themselves. And so, you know, taking the kids lunch or snack, it could be more behind that than just what you see. I think that's an excellent point.
Absolutely. You know, and that's something Janice mentioned, halt, which is one of the things that we teach a lot. Never get too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. If you allow one of those factors or multiple factors, I guess for lack of a better term, into your system, then you can have different reactions to that. You can be more irritable, more, you know, just disconnected, right? So just imagine a kid that doesn't really understand that. And, you know, maybe they stayed up all night. Their parents never worry about them getting to bed. They're up all night. They wake up the next morning. They don't have breakfast. They're hungry. They're tired. They don't have anyone at home. The parents really aren't present. So you got hungry, you got lonely, you got tired. And you might as well throw anger in there and, you know, attack some other kids and be the bully, because that, in a sense, gives them power.
But Gracie said something earlier about fear, too, with what's happening with bullies. What were you saying about that?
What I think about that is, if you do have a lot of fear, you really should try meditating, or kind of just taking some alone time. If you can't do that, try to go to your friend's house and nap some alone time.
What's the pillow? You said there's like a pillow practice. What do you do?
You can scream in a pillow, or you can punch your pillow, or to calm you down, you can do the butterfly tap on your vagal nerve. It's right under your throat.
So the vagal nerve helps to calm your nervous system by doing a butterfly tap over and breathing. That's cool.
A lot of our conversation has been about face-to-face bullying, like what you might encounter in school in person or at work. What about cyberbullying? I mean, you can attack somebody texting them, posting stuff online about them. How do you all suggest handling that when you're physically detached from the person doing the bullying?
There's like a life principle that I set my intention to live by, which is to treat criticism and compliments the same, because neither of them really mean anything to the extent that whatever someone says or believes about you is, it's an expression of their filter, their opinion, their life values, and it's okay for it to be true for them. That kind of ends the suffering. That ends the inner war. Because when we try to coerce people to see our point of view or to not treat us a certain way or to see our value, it sort of erodes at our own self-esteem. Instead, I think it's a more empowering choice to say, I'm going to let you own that. I'm going to let you own that you dislike me or that you don't think I'm pretty or that you don't like my opinion. Like, okay, you can own that. Thank you for sharing. And I even had a situation, I try and practice this in my, you know, my life. And so I even had a situation online where someone had commented on something and it was an unkind comment. And my instinct was to want to delete it. Number one, I don't want other people to see this comment because I don't want to get their mind thinking like, oh, maybe this is true about Janice. So my instinct was to delete it. Then when I decided, well, if I treat criticism and compliments the same, I'm not going to delete it. So then I wanted to like ignore it. But I was like, but if someone said something really nice, I would click the heart and be like, thank you. Blocking it wasn't really even a consideration because I feel like for me, that's running. So I was like, I thought about it and then I wanted to defend. And I said, you know, I'm not going to do that either, because when you put your defenses up, it just makes the other person raise theirs. So I was just like, thanks for your feedback. And I kind of basically said, like, you know, being in a certain line of work doesn't like prevent you from having your own challenges. And I certainly have had mine and I appreciate you sharing, like keep in touch. And then the person came back a few hours later.
Almost immediately. It wasn't a few hours.
It wasn't.
Later.
Okay.
Almost immediately.
And said, I apologize for my unkind and ignorant comment. And I appreciate, you know, so on and so forth. So it was like, I didn't have to do the corrective work. And I think if we can see each other in each other, I think that's why we have so much violence and disconnection, because we don't see, like, when I look at you, I need to be able to say, I'm that too. Like, I need to be able to look at the bird in the sky. I'm that too. Look at the person that's homeless. I am that too. When
especially
we can see.
Especially with bugs. Because worms, spiders, ants, stick bugs, caterpillars.
It's all a part of like creation.
Right.
So if you can harm these little things, we can harm each other. We can harm ourselves. And so if I can see that in someone else, it's going to help create some consciousness and some mindfulness. And I just let them have that opinion of me. All right, fine. Okay. Just because it's true for you doesn't have to be true for me.
How can we think about turning down the temperature on bullying, if you will, and having reasonable responses when there's so much going on around us that is really provocative and kind of angry discussions? I'm thinking particularly about the political arena.
It's triggering.
It's not the only place, but it's a pretty prominent place and from kind of all over the place. How do we sort of filter that out or keep that from being sort of the new standard? Well, look at all this discussion going on out in the world.
Sure.
I guess, you know, that's okay to do down at our level too.
Right.
How do we keep that from filtering down into school, into work, and into our daily lives?
Yeah, sure. You know, the thing about social media, and we've had conversations about this in the past, it keeps us so connected. All these things that are going on politically right now, which is flaming right now, mm-hmm. with so much just hatred. And then the president is very vocal about what he feels about things. And almost the only way to filter it out is you have to shut down and shut off, right? You have to find some kind of way to step away from it at a certain point, because you turn on the TV, you got your cell phone, you get messages, you got tweets, you got, you know, Facebook messages, instant messenger.
Take a tech-free day with the Yes. Watsons.
And so that's what I'm leading up to. I think it's so important, especially in the day and age that we live in right now, to take a tech-free day. Have one day out of the week where you shut all of this stuff off and you kind of silence the noise. There's so much noise in our society right now, and you just have to take time to, you know, to silence the noise and, you know, look around you and see the world that's around you. I think that's the only way, because when we wake up in the morning, we look at our phones. Before we go to bed at night, we look at our phones. You know, even now, you know, 8, 9, 10-year-old children have their own cell phones. And so now these youth are growing up different than what we grew up, because now they're more connected now. They have their own social media pages, and then bullying and social media bullying. You know, a child may not know how to process, you know, some bully message that's out there. And we know all the stories about some children who have even committed suicide. So cutting all of that off and taking one day off, or even just a half of a day.
The noise without is a reflection of the noise within. And that's to Grace's point about taking time to yourself, in nature, meditation.
Especially if you don't know what to do, then you can read a book, you can color, you can draw, you can sing.
You can, great suggestions.
You can play with your toys. Right. There's so many other things to do.
Because
being on tech all the time.
Because or always here's being with
the
friends.
Thing, it's not going to stop.
No, it's not.
We can't filter. It's like, unless we turn it off, we can't filter it out. It's not going to stop.
What about the perpetrator of that kind of communication, or somebody who is a bully as opposed to somebody who might receive a message? What kind of, I guess, sort of thought transformation would that person have to go through? Or what would that person have to filter out to rethink their behavior?
So we're wounded in relationships. We have to heal in relationships. So it's going to take having some healthy connection. And sometimes that comes in the form of a boundary. So we have to be okay with setting boundaries with folks that are bullying.
If you are the one that's doing the bullying, find your own way to communicate. Hey, you know I've been expressing some anger. Here's the reason why. Here's what's happening. And I think that goes for young and as an adult as well. You have to find your own inner pain, your own inner, what's going on at your core that makes you respond to people the way that you are. And I think in the society that we live in now, once again, people like the people that we look up to now are so expressive. Like there was a time you would be a little bit moderate about what you would say to someone or about a certain group. But now people are just
Everyone's
emoting right now. So then a person that might be a little tempered down, they're like, okay, well, I'm going to say the same thing too. And sometimes these things can come across as bullying, but find out what's going on at your core, right? And heal your own pain so that you don't have to express in anger or as a bully or, you know, taking advantage of or controlling someone. Find out what's going on inside of you and heal that. And then what's inside will come out.
And don't stop reaching out for help. If you reach out to one teacher and it doesn't go as you hoped or you didn't get the support, reach out again. Reach out to a counselor.
Absolutely.
Don't stop reaching out. Help is on the way.
Help is there.
Janice and Rock Rockman are Central Texas Life and Relationship Coaches, certified by an International Coaching Federation accredited program. Grace Rockman is a fifth grader in Central Texas. We thank you all for your time and discussion today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.